One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Football, fighting, and full-on nonsense. The Stephen Housen Podcast. Made in Manchester.
All right, everybody, this is Stephen Housen, and this is the Made in Manchester Stephen Housen podcast. I'm on the way to the Villa game. Not the Villa game, why am I lying? Crystal Palace game. And I'm here with Villa. You might have seen Illy on the full-time Devils fan cams and stuff. Illy's been my mate for about 15, 16 years. And we're just talking absolute macker in the car on the way to the game. And we said, you know what? We'll do a podcast on the way home. And the conversation's that fucking good at the moment. That was like bollocks. We need to do a podcast right now with what we're talking about. We've just been talking about formations, and we've just been talking about the history of football tactics, Inverting the Pyramid. That book that I always refer to. I was just telling Illy a little bit about that book. And what was we talking about before that?
How the Premier League in the
yes,
the
that's
eight,
what we was talking
the top
about.
Eight, that's right. Going to be interesting next season.
Well, let's just recap that for everybody. Okay. The Premier League top eight next season. I don't even know how we got into talking about it. In all honesty,
we just got giddy, didn't we?
the Premier League next year. I think a lot of people still accept or still think in their heads that top four is still a thing. Where throughout the mid 2000s and stuff like that, it was the lock in top four, wasn't it? It was United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool.
Yeah, there was
until
the same
City's
four
yeah, yeah, until City's money came in and they bumped in. Everton managed to sneak in on the off chance. Spurs occasionally sneaked in, but it was generally a shutout top four of United, Liverpool, Chelsea, and Arsenal. And I don't think we can look at the Premier League as having that sort of shutout top four anymore. The money has changed the game. Leicester have changed the game. I think the Spurs side are changing the game. So let's go through them.
Also the managers. The managers will be changing the game next season.
There's some serious managers.
There'll be some different styles of play next season that are probably going to shock a lot of teams.
So what we kicked off on was like, right, there's... Let's just go straight down the league this year. Yeah. So Leicester, they're not going away, right? We expect... They're going to probably keep hold of most of their players. Mm. The two that we think could go is probably Mahrez and Kante. Yeah. But apart from that, I don't think Real Madrid are coming in for Jamie Vardy.
No.
I don't think Bayern Munich are coming in for Danny Simpson. So I don't think they're going to lose a great deal of their players. But Kante and Mahrez are the two that I could see moving on somewhere a little bit sexier. So I don't think they're winning the league again next year. They are going to win it this year for me.
Yeah, of course they are.
But I don't think they're winning it next year. So... Where are they going to come? Top five for me. I think they're still capable of finishing top five.
It's hard to defend the title.
Yeah.
It's harder to defend the title than to after the first time win it. But there is, like you said, there's going to be a lot more teams involved. City are going to be there, unfortunately.
Oh yeah. So let's go straight on. Go Spurs. So Spurs probably going to finish second, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For me, they're favourites next year.
Yeah. Big shout. Big shout, that's your underdog, innit?
Well, not if the favourites, no, but at the moment, I look at that Spurs side, I see where you can slight improving on it, but I don't see like a big obvious, it desperately needs this sort of signing. I think they're very likely to be favourites again next year for me.
Yeah, a bit more consistency with them.
So third is likely to be Arsenal, I would think. So Arsenal, well, they're going to Arsenal it, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to bottle.
They're not going to sign anybody that's going to make the massive difference for them.
Yeah.
They're going to do what Arsenal always do, which is probably finish third or fourth or fifth next season. Because I do think that there is going to be a lot more competition in that top half.
They'll be up there somewhere. It's just whether they bottle the top four.
This is what we're saying, though, that it's not no longer can you really look at a top four. And I think as United fans, we're going to have to just sort of accept that there is no God-given right to finish top 3, top 4 anymore.
We've got to play for it, haven't we? We've got to adjust. We've got to rethink. Start attacking again.
And then you've got in hopefully fifth this year, Manchester City. And what we were saying about City is that we don't think that Guardiola's got the personnel that he's had at Barcelona or Bayern Munich, or has he had the relative easy league where he's able to implement his tactics and his style of play on the fly and you'll save it for Europe because it's a slightly easier league than a Premier League. He's going to be fighting tooth and nail from the off.
Yeah, definitely. And that's not taking anything away from him because he is a good manager. It's just going to be a challenge for him this next season.
He's got to completely change City's style of play, which is, is going to be the hardest thing for him. It's not going to be perhaps... I don't think it's going to be too much of him adjusting to the Premier League. I think it's him adjusting City to his style of play. And I think the ages of some of the players is against him. He's got some fantastically technical players who wouldn't want David Silva and Aguero in your team?
Yeah.
They're going to help him massively in this transition. But there's certain players like Toure, who don't think is going to do it. Fernando, I don't see him really becoming the new Xavi. So I think he's probably going to struggle there. They're going to have money, so he's going to be able to buy players who fit the mould. But then you're looking at not only fitting a player to your mould, but the team to the player and the new system. So I think City are going to struggle next year. They're certainly not going to moonwalk the league, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
I think that's going to...
There's no guarantees, is it?
If they start poorly and it takes them 10 weeks to adjust to his system, that league can be fucking gone next season.
We fucking hope so.
Yeah, and I do hope that. And by everyone's estimation, Jose Mourinho is going to be the Manchester United manager, right? Yeah. So what's the two things you would expect from Mourinho? One, he's going to get a touchline ban for pissing someone off at some point, poking someone in the eye, kicking over water bottles, calling someone a cunt that he shouldn't have called a cunt, and annoy everyone in the press conferences. The other thing that Jose Mourinho brings is a fortress of a home ground.
Yeah.
The one blip being Chelsea this past season.
And I mean, even before he brings that, if we don't make it into the top four this season, he's our main focal point for bringing players in. He's the attraction.
Probably, yeah. I think the money and the club still enough of an attraction for us to bring players in. But we wouldn't
bring a big player in. We'd probably need him.
There's a certain level of player that will not come without Champions League. And I think we touched on it earlier, didn't we? So I think if Ronaldo is going to move from Real Madrid, there's no way he moves. And it's a big if. But if he is going to move, he ain't moving with no Champions League. That's a fact. It's gonna be tough to get him with Champions League, but without Champions League,
no
forget it. He ain't fucking coming. So
be selfish.
So that leaves you with what then? You've got West Ham, who are moving to a new stadium. They're gonna have money. They're gonna be a fucking nightmare. You've got Everton, who, like I said, on paper, great basis of a good squad. Roberto Martinez can't defend for shit.
Yeah, they're touch and go. Sometimes they can surprise you, can't they? And then you think, well, why aren't they playing that way every week?
If you're Everton, you're Bill Kenwright, who do you go, right, look, the fans want this Spanish motherfucker gone. Who do you bring in? Who's your go-to guy now to take Everton? Because they've just got investment, overseas investment. And like I said, if they keep hold of Lukaku, the likes of Stones and Barkley and that's the basis of a fantastic squad for me. So who do you bring in?
Do you know who could be a possibility? I know Newcastle have only just got him.
Oh, Rafa's not going there after his Liverpool days, is it?
Do you not reckon it'd be funny?
Do you know what? I think he's fucking garbage anyway, mate. Yeah, I really don't.
He's got no loyalty to Liverpool, has he?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think the Liverpool fans got a lot of loyalty to him, which I suppose is down to the Champions League win, but I don't see it. I really don't. Yeah. For me, he's failed everywhere he's gone.
Oh, it'd be brilliant.
Maybe it would, but I don't think...
It makes comedy value more.
I don't think he's the guy that I get if I'm Bill Kenwright, though. Jesus, look at his traffic.
Who would you go for,
then? Cheeky bastard and jib in there. Yep, we can. Oh, there we go. Who do you go for? Now, most of the top managers are employed, aren't they? The top manager outside of England, for me, is Ancelotti, who obviously Bayern Munich have just snapped up, so he's going nowhere.
Who's available for them to get?
Well, there's talk that Paris are after a new manager by tapping up Mourinho, so is Laurent Blanc available?
Ah.
Would he go to Everton, though? This is the problem that you're facing. A lot of these top managers want European football. Everton aren't going to be offering European football unless they win the FA Cup, are they? And even that's not proper European football. It's plastic European football.
Yeah, that crap we've just played in.
So I think that's Everton's biggest thing is that they need a big name manager, and if they get a big name manager, they could be a fucking nightmare next year.
Yeah.
The proper scouse cunts. Klopp's making them relevant again, should I say?
Yeah, he's took the attention away from how shit they're playing and sort of.
I think a summer transfer window is going to be dangerous for them.
Yeah, because he would attract players. Yeah,
he definitely is going
to
attract players.
As much as I hate to say it.
Well, if they're talking about him bringing Götze over from Dortmund, that's a hell of a signing. That's a top tier player, isn't it?
I know.
I don't like saying, yo, that player's better than that player and that player's better than that player. I think there's like groups of players that you can say are of certain levels, and I think Götze is in that top level of footballer.
Of course he is. But
so Liverpool, that's what we said. So you're going to have a top eight next year, where every single team in that top eight is probably legit. I mean, for me, the ones that stand out above it is Tottenham at the moment.
Yeah, and it's like you say, the managers you're going to have in the Premier League next season, if things go according to the way the papers are saying or the way people are saying, you're going to have Mourinho, Conte, you're going to have.
We didn't even mention Chelsea.
No, exactly.
Chelsea will not be 9th or 10th next season.
No, how can they be? They've got money. They're pulling in a good manager.
The side on paper still
is Chelsea.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's still a fantastic side. Yeah. I have no idea what went wrong with Mourinho and Chelsea.
No.
That's something that sticks in my mind as a nightmare for us if he does come to us.
Because
something clearly went tits up there. A lot of the Chelsea fans seem to pin a lot of blame on Cesc Fabregas, which I don't understand how one player can have so much influence like that.
Yeah.
In all honesty,
maybe he's won the teammates, as in, you know. But so Conte, Mourinho, Guardiola, Klopp.
Pochettino.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can never say his fucking name.
Ranieri. And Ranieri's done well everywhere he's gone, apart from the Greece national team. And
exactly.
Let's face it, it's the Greece national team. What real expectations do you have as manager of the Greece national team? Probably better than he did, but.
So you've got all the managers there, and they're all capable of bringing the best out of the team. They all play.
Similar,
box to box, quite. To a certain extent.
He's out of work, Hiddink to Everton.
Oh.
That might be a shout. Fucking hell, can you imagine that as your top eight managers next year? Jesus Christ.
We got better managers than we got players next season.
And you've still got the likes of Pulis. I love Tony Pulis. If you need 40 points, call Tony Pulis. Tony Pulis is getting you 40 fucking points. It's as simple as that. Do you want 42 points? Not your man. But if you want 40 points, I'm there for you.
And he wears a cap.
Looks like G. Smith.
G. Smith. Okay.
So, so that moved us on to talking about formations and the different formations and stuff. And Louis van Gaal's been religious with 4-2-3-1 this season, whereas last season he often went with the 4-3-3.
Yeah.
Mourinho has played different formations. He's played 4-3-3, and he's also sort of heavily favoured the 4-2-3-1. 4-3-3, he played quite a lot with Chelsea, the early Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah.
The one where he won back-to-back titles, and then of late with his Inter team, with his Real Madrid team, and with this with this Chelsea side this season. 4-2-3-1 has been his lineup.
But we're English.
We are English. Oh, yes, this is what we were talking about, wasn't it? So, growing up, it was 4-4-2. There was no other formations. What the fuck are you talking about? Formations, this is how you play. I remember when the 98 World Cup, was it Glenn Hoddle was in charge then? I think it was Glenn Hoddle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whichever fucking European Championships or World Cup it was, whenever Glenn Hoddle was in charge, I remember hearing this phrase for the first time, the Christmas tree formation. 3-5-2. Wing backs. What the fuck are wing backs, mate?
No. I know.
That was alien to me back then.
Yeah, it was to me. And it's like we say, we were discussing it, and as
still
a kid,
two up front though.
Yeah. As a kid, I always played as a striker, and I could always look to my left or my right, and my striker partner would always be there. And when all these new formations started coming into things, and it used to frustrate me. And it's like we were talking about Rooney when he was playing up front, and up front on his own.
Well, that's why he worked as a 10, I think.
Yeah, because we didn't like Rooney when he was playing with his back to the net, because he can't hold the ball up. He's too small to.
Well, to Andreas Pereira is one of the most technically gifted players you're going to see, isn't he?
Yeah.
He was playing number 9 for the under 21s last night, and I won't blame there again. If that was I mean, he got a goal and an assist, but no.
Right.
But when he playing with his back to goal. When he had his back to goal, what was he offering? So, when you're playing your back to goal, you need to be able to head it, because the keeper's usually punting it up to you, and then you need to be able to hold it.
And the golden rule, as we taught as a kid, you play what you see.
Yeah. And, well, for starters, no one was getting close to him, because we was playing like 18 defenders in the team last night. But he's not the style of player. I mean, there was one where he did a turn with one touch and beat the defender, but that was because he was using his turn. He wasn't using what you would expect, excuse me, from a number 9. How short are them shorts, mate?
Oh, no, what the fuck? And the salmon colour.
But he wasn't playing like a number 9. He did all right when he was in the channels, or he had to chase it, and he did okay getting it in under Varela's cross for the first goal, but he's no number 9. If you told me this is a young striker that we're looking at, I'd have gone, I don't like him there.
Yeah.
If you'd have told me that's where he played, I'd have gone,
because we raved about him.
I like him off a striker, though. I just don't think that he was that sort of striker. And that's the problem with Rooney, is he's not that sort of striker. I think he's very, very good as a number 10. I think he's got good vision. I think he's got a good pass on him and a good drop-off. But as leading the line...
The thing is with Rooney now as well, he is slowing down in his pace. He is slowing down. So your natural progression from that, if you want to keep him in your team, is you're going to drop him into midfield, aren't you? Going to move him into that kind of space.
When people say midfield, though, for me, when you look at our formation, in my head, I think as a midfield too. Yeah. And he's no, he cannot play there. Because, like I said, he's not got the engine for that. I don't think. I mean, I know that we see him charging around the pitch at times.
Yeah.
But I think you need a bit more to you to really be able to do that properly.
And he can pick out them passes that you don't see.
He can, but I think he's Hollywood balling it a little bit at times. Do you know, like Gerrard used to do?
Yeah.
And let me see if I'm going to butcher this quote.
Two long passes and that guy's had an amazing game.
Let me see if I'm going to butcher this quote. I don't know who said it. My dad says it a lot, but I don't know who come up with this. Why play a simple pass when a Hollywood pass will do?
It's like the Grabbelaar of keepers. Like dramatic saves just for the sake of a simple save.
I saw Gerrard punt it into touch or for a goal kick more than I saw him hit a man with it. It wasn't Paul Scholes. And I think Rooney, because he's played with Scholes, sees a couple of those balls, but I don't think he's quick enough of them. He puts the ball a bit too high, so I think people are waiting for it a little bit. You know, it's not that sort. It's not a snap pass out to the sideline.
He's not drilling it like daisy cutting it.
People was talking about his passing against Villa, and they was like, oh, he did all these passes. He did 7, right? Yeah. 3 of them went straight into touch. Yeah. 4 of them went to a man.
Yeah.
I don't know if I...
2 of them were amazing passes.
I don't know if I agree that 2 out of 7 is good enough.
Oh, is it 4? But that's what people will remember.
Yeah.
I've always had this issue
with John Terry as well. I think John Terry and Gerrard are match of the day players. Yes. And I think because they're English, I think the match of the day panel always pandered to them a little bit. They always shown the good highlights. Mm. But when you watch them for 90 minutes, Steven Gerrard was massively overrated. Yeah. John Terry, massively overrated. I speak to some Chelsea fans who do watch the football, and they fucking love him. Which makes me think that I'm probably a bit wrong on John Terry. But when I've watched him, I've thought,
where you're coming from with
garbage.
It.
Yeah, he's out of position, so he has to make a crazy tackle that Rio Ferdinand wouldn't ever make, because Rio Ferdinand wouldn't have been out of position.
No.
Someone was talking to me. I did a video for Football Republic the other day, and he was talking about Ramos. And I said, I don't rate Ramos. I've never rated Ramos. Decent fullback. Actually, that's been a bit harsh. He was a very good fullback, but as a centre-half, he's a fucking liability.
Yeah, he's an absolute liability.
And people are like, well, you take away his red cards. Well, you take away his red cards, take away 25% of the player, because that's what he's offering you. He's a dirty, horrible, snidey cunt. Yeah.
He makes a striker not walk an area.
On one hand.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he's a fucking walking liability.
Which is what we've now got in Fosu Mensah.
I don't think his defensive abilities are that good.
No.
All the comments that I've got, mostly from anti-United fans, I must admit.
Which is a lot, are saying that,
because I said, people talk about Ramos like he's a top-level, world class defender, and for me, he's not.
Yeah.
And I said he's not on the level of a Rio Ferdinand or a Bobby Moore. That was two defenders, two fucking out and out defenders, relatively clean defenders as well.
Yeah.
Relatively clean defenders, which I think makes them the polar opposite of Ramos. But for me, Ramos is not on that fucking level of Rio Ferdinand. Rio Ferdinand might have been the best defender I've ever fucking seen in my life.
Wow.
Who's better? Who was better at reading the game? Who was better at bringing the ball out of defence?
That was brilliant with him. He had a bit of a grace about him when he moved the ball.
He was aggressive about being dirty.
Yeah.
He had that fucking dirty nutcase next to him in Vidic. And between the two of them, but Rio Ferdinand was a fucking hard player. He wasn't a pussy.
Yeah,
And I just don't see how Ramos or Terry are in that fucking wheelhouse. For me, Rio Ferdinand stands head and shoulders one of the most fucking unbelievable defenders I've ever seen. Yeah. And it was obvious when he started to fade, and he was still probably a Premier League level defender, how shit he looked in comparison.
Yeah.
To himself.
Yeah. Because we seen him when he came to us for QPR, didn't he?
His last season, I mean, when he gave Bellamy the fucking ball in the Owen Derby. Jesus
Christ. Mate, honestly. But Bellamy used to scare me. His speed, frightened the shit. I think he was underrated. And people tend to not agree with me on it.
His ability was good. I just think he could have done so much more.
Yeah, he could have done so much more.
He was an horrible bastard.
Yeah, he was a prick, but I like pricks for some reason.
I do. Well, I've always said you need one dickhead in a team. If you have two dickheads in a team, you become that City team where you had Tevez, you had Bellamy, you have Yaya Toure, Kinyum and Balotelli. They're four unbelievable dickheads in a team. That's why that team were never going to win a back-to-back title.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they'd fucking disappear into arguing with themselves.
Too much of a cock measuring contest, isn't it?
God, can you imagine a training session with them? One of them starts off and you're like, fucking Bellen. And then another one starts off and you're like, I just want to go home because these
then
two
you've
dicks.
Got another one sulking because he's not got a fucking birthday cake.
Yeah. And one's like, put a bib on. You put a fucking bib on. And you're like, mate, just put a fucking, you're a professional. And then, you see him, he actually had a fight with his manager, didn't he? When Mancini was there, Balotelli had an actual fucking fight with him.
we've got to this from tactics.
Yeah. That's what we do, lads.
This is our drive to Old Trafford. Waffling shit all the way there. But it's productive shit.
Yeah. I always thought Ronaldo was our dickhead, and everyone. If you've got one dickhead in the team, especially if he's as productive as Ronaldo was, if you've got one dickhead in the team, you can almost like laugh at that one dickhead. When you've got more than one dickhead in the team, that's when you start to just have fucking nightmares.
Would you have said Cantona?
Maybe. Maybe he was the dickhead in the team. He was the one that was treated differently. I'm never going to call Cantona a dickhead.
No.
But he was treated differently.
He was a superstar in the team that they tend to be the ones that get classed as.
Who was it that got done? Paul Ince. I want to say Lee Sharp, but I think that's wrong. It might have been Paul Ince and Pallister. One of them had the shirt untucked and one of them didn't have the correct tie or the club tie or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Fergie bollocked him.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, late, Cantona turns up wearing fucking Nikes with slacks.
Yeah.
No tie on.
Yeah.
And his blazer over his fucking shoulder or something, and he just goes, "Morning, Eric." Get on the coach. And I think it was even. I'm sure it was Pallister.
There was a similar.
I think he said it at the Sportsman's.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, there was a similar story, wasn't it? When Ryan Giggs turned up to the training ground in a brand new car, and Alex Ferguson said, "What the fuck are you doing with that?" And then Cantona turned up and he won. He's like, "Nice car, Cantona."
Oh, you're like, second for a spin.
Yeah. Where do you get one? I want one. Distracted by someone running now.
It's a fucking one. Carson's 18 and a half degrees.
Fucking bubble coat like an idiot.
18 and a half degrees in Manchester. Unbelievable.
I know, it'll snow later.
It was cold. It was cold after it went dark yesterday at White Hart Lane. But it was roasting on the way down. It's going to be the same today. It'll be fucking freezing once the sun goes in.
Yeah, it will be.
How far are we on here now? 23 minutes. We can't leave it at 23 minutes. Although, do you know what? We're fucking late. We was meant to be at Old Trafford about 8-9 minutes ago. I reckon it's going to take us another, probably give us another 10 before we park up.
You have come a pretty random way, though, you know.
I had to get off the Mancunian. It was all blocked up when you were on the Chester Road. No, we only got on it at Chester Road there, so. Oh, we are here. We jib out here. We're at White City.
Yeah.
And then dive behind and park a plot. Dropped.
What is it, right? Going off football, but with these little army tracksuit that these girls are wearing at the minute.
I don't know.
Some pull them off. Some stretch them. You see them. And then they've got yellow trainers on as well, so make your mind up, do you want to be seen or not?
Here's the conversation.
Yeah.
Under 21's player of the year. Because there's someone close to me, Rashford, definitely.
No.
I think he's played two games in the 21's. I think he's had one start, one sub. I think they're just thinking of under 21 players. But no, under 21.
I think you could
under 21's.
Jackson.
I thought he was more spectacular in the first team than he was in the 21s.
Did you?
I think he's going to be weird. I think...
Weird because he's the easy one to pick because he's a captain and, like we've said before... And
his attitude's perfect.
Yeah, and he makes things happen.
Seven and a half, eight out of ten every week.
His mistakes can roll into the net.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Pops up with a goal at random times. Where do you want to play him? Defensive mid, I'll score. Where do you want to play him? Left back, I'll score. Right up back, front. I'll pop up, score. Yeah, pop up, up front, score.
Mm. He does his job.
He does. He is the embodiment of Warren Joyce on the pitch, I think. So I think he probably will be weirdo. Weirdo. I don't think it can be Fosu Mensah because I don't think he's played enough in the 21s to call it.
Williams.
Williams has stepped up fantastically, hasn't he? And he was fucking mopping up mistakes for Phil Jones last week.
That's what I mean. And,
he's still a first year apprentice.
Yeah, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. I don't think he's.
It's forced. If you want to call Fosu Mensah a centre half, cool. There's four centre halves, and I'm including Fosu Mensah in that.
Yeah.
There are four centre halves in the academy that all of them can't come through because there's fucking four of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know any formation that they fit into.
Right.
But Fosu Mensah, Williams, Tuan Zebe, elite level, and then in the level below them, you got. I think he just turned 17, so he's a very young under 18s player, Tyrell Warren. What?
We need to keep all of them.
What?
We need to make sure.
You was with me at the under 18s derby. Probably about 7 or 8 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
What?
And again,
have you ever seen a centre half performance like that?
Again against. What was that team at Altrincham? Was it Reading?
Might have been Reading. I do want to say Reading. Wasn't Reading.
They got really giddy when they scored.
Might have been Brighton.
Could have been. No, Reading was at Leeds.
It might have been Brighton then, yeah. 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 I think Tyrell Warren a couple of times this year has had 11 out of 10 performances.
Yeah. Like, seriously. Remember when we were counting how many tackles he made, how many people got past it, and
none.
Basically, no one did.
Yeah, we was actually sat there laughing at how ridiculous it was. Yeah. So a player maybe burst through midfield, comes out of the two defensive midfielders, and just gets fucking mullered
fairly
mullered.
He got reeled.
Boom. Yeah, he got fucked, and he's gobbing off constantly. Not in a Dennis Wise way. Not in a arsehole. You know, Robbie Savage. I can imagine just being like that all throughout the game.
Yeah.
But in a,
you always have that noisy player on your team.
In a Gary Neville sense, just like a constant encouragement.
Have you noticed in the under 18s, it's Ollie Byrne.
Yeah.
Or Byron, however you pronounce it. And he's the keeper.
Yeah, Ollie's constantly shouting.
Yeah.
Ollie's gone Cardiff. I don't know if that's public or not, but yeah, he's gone Cardiff.
He's public now.
Yeah, he's public now. I believe Tyler Reid's moving on, and I'm not going to say where, but I told you earlier where, so this is for everyone else. Tyler Reid, I believe, is going to be...
It could bite us in the arse.
It could. Because the club wants to look at Olasande more, and for me, that's a mistake. I think Tyler has been a fantastic player. And
for
he looks
that
a fantastic
don't know
player.
Who Olasande is.
He's that American kid we've just signed, and apparently the club thinks more of him than Tyler, which is fucking ridiculous.
Stupid if you're bringing a kid up.
Ridiculous. But whatever.
You know, they see something we don't.
So
sometimes they're right, you know.
Yeah. So who's your vote for? Who's your top three for under 21 player? I don't think you can include Pereira, me, even though he's been great in every game. He looks bored at this level.
He can't even
he's not
Yanazai,
developing.
I don't think.
No.
So I'd go Williams, Weir. I'm going to stick with Jackson for me, just because I like the way he does whip a ball in. He does clean up on that side, doesn't he? And he,
it's hard to think with the injuries as well.
But I like Joe Riley as well.
Yeah, Joe Riley's had a great season.
He's a workhorse. So I'm going to say four. It's between them four. I think Weir will get it.
Yeah, I'm going to pretty much agree with your four. I'm also going to throw Joel Pereira in as a goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's had a pretty solid season. And he looks to be developing into a bit of a player. Still not 100% sure who the fuck he represents, because it's Switzerland, Portugal and Brazil, I think, something like that. I'm not sure who he's declaring for.
In Belgium, in there?
I don't know.
I'm sure it was.
I think it might be Switzerland. I mean,
Littleton's obsessed with keepers, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I've been telling him he was Brazilian, and then he actually corrected me. I had a full-on argument with him, and then I was
you might be mixing that with Andreas, because Andreas is Brazilian-Portuguese,
yes,
Brazilian-Belgian.
That's the one, shit.
So, I think Joel might be, where's his teaser going?
It's bleeding out. Right, all these teams that they can pick.
Well, Januzaj was meant to have had up to six, wasn't he, including England? I don't think he was ever likely to be picking England.
Oh, fuck, you get six. That's an orgy.
It's bad, that. Yeah, I mean, you think, your grandparents, if they're all from four places, there's your four. Yeah. The place of your birth, I suppose, can have a fifth. Wherever you've spent, if you, because I think he was born in somewhere like Bosnia and then grew up in Belgium, so there's another one.
Yeah.
And then obviously living in England now for a certain number of years, you mean you theoretically get up to about seven, which is fucking insane, isn't it?
It's crazy. We're just about to pull up to Sam Platt,
so we will call that a day. Thank you for joining us through the traffic.
Also, find me on Twitter at HillyStyle.
Yeah, you'll find
big up myself there.
Yeah, drop Hilly a follow. Subscribe to the podcast. Drop us any comments that you want on Twitter. And that is that. We'll finish this recording because I need to pay the guy. And nice one. Laters.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Yeah.